content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the August 2019 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to begin today on page 44. Title of this article, Fantasy Football Guide. So, you lost again. Got some questions about getting your squad into contention? We've got answers. You missed out on Patrick Mahomes in the draft. Time to panic? It's okay. To not get the top guy, getting two middle-of-the-pack quarterbacks will do a roster just fine. And sometimes, drafting a QB too high is a bad strategy. You'll miss out on valuable depth at running back and wide receiver. Think of it this way. If you have a pair of top 15 quarterbacks, at least one is likely to be productive each week. Deciding who to start depends on which matchup is best. Consider this pairing. Philip Rivers on the left of the Chargers and Tampa Bay's Jameis Winston. Rivers will be available deep into the draft, and he finished the season ranked 11th among QBs in fantasy points. Winston will be paired with offensive-minded coach Bruce Arians. Another thing to keep in mind, look at the defenses in the QB's division. The AFC South could have four of the top 12 defenses. That's reason enough to avoid Tennessee's Marcus Mariota and Nick Foles of the Jaguars. How do I avoid getting stuck with a random defense and kicker? You've left your defense and kicker to the last two picks. How do you know who to snap up? It's simple. For defense, look at the team's division. Last year, every NFC team South team finished in the top 10 in total offense, and none of the defenses finished in the top 12 in fantasy points. Conversely, the Jets, Bills and Dolphins finished 29th, 30th, and 31st in total offense. So you might want to bet big on the Patriots' D, maybe even drafting it a little earlier. Kickers are almost always taken in the final round. Look for one whose team struggles in the red zone. That'll mean more field goal opportunities. Houston was 29th in the red zone last year, and thus Kamimi Fairbairn led all kickers in fantasy points. You can also go the other direction. A high-powered offense like Kansas City's will give its kicker plenty of extra point chances, which is why Harrison Butker above on the Chiefs finished third in fantasy points. There's nothing better than getting a season-changing player in the later rounds. Who are the best sleepers this year? Rashad Penny, running back, Seahawks. The 2018 first-round pick got only 85 carries last season, splitting time with Chris Carson and Mike Davis. But there's a reason why Penny led the nation in rushing as a senior at San Diego State and finished fifth in the Heisman voting. He's also slimmed down to 220 pounds and should have a chance to be the lead back for a strong offensive unit in Seattle. Number two, Geronimo Allison, wide receiver, Packers. Who's catching passes from Aaron Rodgers this year? Randall Cobb is now with the Cowboys, and although Devontae Adams will be back, the Packers QB will need more targets. Aquamius St. Brown and Marquez Valdez-Scantling will be options, but Allison on the right was one of Rodgers' most productive pass catcher last year, averaging 60.6 yards over five games. Robbie Anderson, wide receiver, the Jets. Anderson's numbers have been pretty steady the last two seasons, 56.4 yards per game, and he should take a step forward if QB Sam Damon improves his second season. Which rookies will make immediate impacts? Darrell Henderson, running back, the Rams. Todd Gurley remains the lead back in Los Angeles for now. He barely played in their Super Bowl run due to a knee issue, and last year's backup, C.J. Anderson, has moved on to the Lions. At the very least, the Rams will try to limit Gurley's load during the regular season to save him for the playoffs. That should create opportunities for Henderson and above, a third-round pick out of Memphis. The 5'8", 200-pound back is also a talented pass catcher, which will keep him on the field on third down. N'Keal Harry, wide receiver, Patriots. Other than Julian Edelman, the Patriots don't have much in terms of pass catchers. Tight end Rob Gronkowski retired. Chris Hogan is in Carolina. And Benjamin Watson is suspended for 4 games to start the year. Harry was prolific at Arizona State. He had 2 1,000-yard seasons, and his big body, 6'2", 228 pounds, should make him a red zone threat. Mecole Hardman, wide receiver, the Chiefs. The 5'10 speedster from Georgia walks into a perfect situation. He has a superstar quarterback throwing him the ball, Patrick Mahomes, and the team's primary deep threat, Tyreek Hill, is suspended for the first 4 games. That means Hardman could put up big numbers right away on a team that was third in passing yards last season. Strategy session. Ouch. Avoid the injury bug. Can you do anything to prevent your roster from being hit by injuries? Yes and no. Redskins quarterback Alex Smith, normally a pretty durable player, broke his leg last year on a freak play. There's nothing a fantasy owner could have done to predict that. But there are certain players who tend to be injury-prone. Identify them and stay away. Jags running back Leonard Fournette missed 8 games last year. The season before, when he was a rookie, he missed 3, and he played just 7 games in his final year at LSU. A good strategy, draft Fournette's backup, likely Alfred Blue, who will be available in the later round and could start a few games. Don't get tripped up by the bye week blues. Loading up on players from the same team is a dangerous strategy, because when that team has an off week, your roster will be filled with holes. Before you draft any player, you need to make sure his team's bye also doesn't overlap with other players on your roster. For instance, 6 teams, including the Redskins and Texans, have a bye in week 10. So don't draft Washington's Adrian Peterson and also Houston's Lamar Miller above. There's nothing worse than seeing your 2 best players on the sideline at the same time. Mock draft, pages 46 and 47. Buzz Beamer and his friends held their draft. How did this motley crew do, and what can you learn from them? Buzz Beamer returned as league manager for a 2nd year. Number 1, running back Saquon Barkley. Number 2, running back Aaron Jones. Number 3, wide receiver A.J. Green. Number 4, wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey. Number 5, wide receiver Chris Godwin. Number 6, wide running back David Montgomery. Number 7, quarterback Baker Mayfield. Number 8, wide receiver Dante Pettis. Number 9, running back Matt Breida. Number 10, tight end Trey Burton. Number 11, kicker Harrison Butker. Number 12, Denver Broncos. Buzz likes to do things his own way, but here he stuck with a widely accepted strategy. If you pick first, take a back who figures to get a lot of TDs. He stacked at the position with the Giants' Barkley and the Packers' Jones. Buckethead voted for Whitney as league manager. Running back Alvin Kamara. Tight end George Kittle. Wide receiver Keenan Allen. Running back Kenyon Drake. Running back Lamar Miller. Wide receiver Marvin Jones. Wide receiver Robbie Anderson. Wide receiver Anthony Miller. Quarterback Philip Rivers. Running back Royce Freeman. D. Jackson Jaguars. And kicker Brett Maher. What did Buckethead say when Kamara was available? Bow wow. Translation, I'm happy. Because the Saints' back easily could have been the top pick. However, the pup might have taken the 49ers' Kittle a little early. Whitney vowed not to trade with Buzz all year. Running back, Christian McCaffrey. Running back, Dalvin Cook. Wide receiver, T.Y. Hilton. Running back, Tevin Coleman. Quarterback, Andrew Luck. Tight end, Jared Cook. Wide receiver, Mike Williams. Wide receiver, Golden Tate. Wide receiver, Kiki Kuti. Running back, Carlos Hyde. On the D, Baltimore Ravens kicker Jake Elliott. Whitney is betting big on Indy's quarterback staying healthy, and she's in luck. Get it? He's behind perhaps the best offensive line in football. However, grabbing Luck's teammate Hilton means that the Colts' Week 6 bye could be an issue. Tank McNamara lobbied to include linemen in draft. Running back Ezekiel Elliott. Wide receiver Mike Evans. Wide receiver Amari Cooper. Wide receiver Robert Woods. Running back Mark Ingram. Wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald. Wide receiver Christian Kirk. Tight end Delanie Walker. Running back Ronald Jones II. Quarterback Jared Goff. On D, Los Angeles Rams. And kicker Zane Gonzalez. Tank loves good offensive lines, so it's no wonder he's counting on Dallas's Elliott and Ingram of the Saints to rack up big yards. Tank's showing as much faith as cousin Tex in Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray by taking two Arizona wideouts. Morley, draft prep folder included 13,193 documents. Quarterback, Patrick Holmes. Running back, Nick Chubb. Wide receiver, Stephon Diggs. Wide receiver, Allen Robinson. Running back, Tariq Cohen. Tight end, Eric Ebron. Wide receiver, Will Fuller. Wide receiver, D.D. Westbrook. On D, Chicago Bears. Kicker, Greg Zuerlein. Wide receiver, DeSean Jackson. Wide receiver, Curtis Samuel. After a run on elite running quarterback, we see our first quarterback taken. Morley is betting that Mahomes will put up big numbers for the Chiefs. Morley also got a top tight end, Indy's Ebron, and the league's best defense. Fungo kept trying to select Mike Trout. Melvin Gordon, running back. Wide receiver, Devontae Adams. Wide receiver, Adam Thielen. Running back, Damian Williams. Wide receiver, Calvin Ridley. Tight end, Hunter Henry. Wide receiver, DJ Moore. Running back, Rashad Penny. Quarterback, Russell Wilson. Running back, Deion Lewis. The defense, Minnesota Vikings. And the kicker, Will Lutz. Believe it or not, this is Fungo's happy face. He got the Seahawks Wilson late, which is a good strategy. The Chargers' Henry has a ton of upside, and Green Bay's Adams and Atlanta's Ridley have big-time potential. Mrs. Beamer really wanted to pick Travis Kelce. Running back James Conner. Running back David Johnson. Running back Marlon Mack. Wide receiver Jarvis Landry. Wide receiver Kenny Golladay. Wide receiver Tyler Lockett. Tight end David Njoku. Quarterback Matt Ryan. Wide receiver Tyrell Williams. Wide receiver Marquise Brown. The defense, Cleveland Browns. The kicker, Adam Vinatieri. Buzz's mom went heavy on running backs in the early rounds, but was still able to get valuable at the receiving position. Cleveland's Landry should have been taken higher, and the Browns' defense could be scary good. Mr. Beamer knew his wife really wanted to pick Travis Kelce. Running back, Le'Veon Bell. Tight end, Travis Kelce. Running back, Sonny Michael. Wide receiver, Brandon Cooks. Running back, Josh Jacobs. Quarterback, Deshaun Watson. Wide receiver, Cortland Sutton. Wide receiver, N'Keal Harry. Wide receiver, Devin Funches. Running back, Miles Sanders. Kicker, Kaimi Fairbang. Defense, Houston Texans. A year after his son got burned by Bell's holdout, Pops is hoping that he returns to form now that he's a Jet. Mr. B's backups, however, are largely untested. He would be wise to look at the waiver wire for someone more proven. Cousin Swampy, if he loses to Tex, he has to wear a Longhorn shirt to family reunion. Wide receiver, Odell Beckham Jr. Wide receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster. Running back, Leonard Fournette. Wide receiver, Cooper Kupp. Quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. Tight end, O.J. Howard. Running back, Latavius Murray. Running back, LeSean McCoy. Wide receiver, Robert Foster. Wide receiver, Marquise Goodwin. Kicker, Stephen Gostkowski. Defense, Dallas Cowboys. Cousin Swampy continued to show his love of LSU players, making Beckham, who's now in Cleveland's high-powered offense, the first wide receiver taken. If another LSU product, Fournette, stays healthy, this will be an explosive team. Cousin Tex. If he loses to Swampy, he has to wear an LSU shirt to family reunion. Running back, Todd Gurley. Running back, Joe Mixon. Tight end, Zach Ertz. Running back, Kerryon Johnson. Wide receiver, Julian Edelman. Wide receiver, Sammy Watkins. Wide receiver, Sterling Shepard. Quarterback, Carson Wentz. Running back, Deontay Foreman. Quarterback, Kyler Murray. Defense, Los Angeles Chargers. Kicker, Michael Badgley. Shocker. Cousin Tex didn't draft any Cowboys, but he still has a solid team. He took a chance that Gurley would be healthy for the Rams, but he followed our advice and took a pair of good backups, since he's Mixon and Detroit's Johnson. Becky Schemer, her quarterback is surprised, a Panther. Wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins. Wide receiver, Michael Thomas. Running back, Chris Carson. Running back, Derrick Henry. Running back, Jordan Howard. Wide receiver, Tyler Board. Running back, Darius Gajus. Juice. Wide receiver, Corey Davis. Quarterback, Cam Newton. Kicker, Justin Tucker. Tight end, Vance McDonald. The defense, New Orleans Saints. Ms. Schemer will have to scheme to get her team a good tight end. She made a mistake waiting until the next to last round to take one. She'll need big performances from her receivers. Becky always has a plan up her sleeve. We just can't see it. And finally, Clauzilla. Only goal in life is to finish in front of Buckethead. Wide receiver, Antonio Brown. Wide receiver, Julio Jones. Running back, Devontae Freeman. Running back, Philip Lindsay. Quarterback, Drew Brees. Running back, James White. Tight end, Evan Engram. Running back, Jerick McKinnon. Wide receiver, Jamison Crowder. Wide receiver, Mohamed Sanu. Defense, New England Patriots. Kicker, Matt Prater. This kitty needs Brown to have a bounce back year in Oakland, or else his team is going to have to claw its way up the standings. If healthy, McKinnon, who missed last season and is now with the 49ers, could be the steal of the draft. From Sports Illustrated, unique talent, Matthew Boling, has transformed from an elite but little-known high school sprinter into a record-blazing, viral clip-producing star. His new profile says as much about his sport as it does about him. Back at the end of winter, before that one race and before Matthew Boling was transported across the cultural bridge that changes a young man into an italicized OMG capital T thing, he was just an 18-year-old high school senior who could run faster and jump farther than his peers. He liked to play games like Rocket League and Apex Legends indoors and Hardball Home Run Derby outside, eat his mom's scrambled eggs, listen to Travis Scott. He was a good student, but not as good as his fraternal twin, Michael, the high school valedictorian. His dad still called him Chewy because he had once been obsessed with Star Wars, or, as Matthew explains it more succinctly, I had about 1,500 Instagram followers. He was all somewhere on the very high end of normal. Now Matthew Boling is something else altogether. He is the vessel into which the track and field community has poured its endless hope for youthful potential that might grow into breakout relevance. Among the names attached to Boling by breathless observers of the sport in the last 3 months, Usain Bolt and Carl Lewis. 3 months ago, Matthew was largely anonymous. Now he is viral. Again, over to Borling, who is sitting in the track coach's office at Strake Jesuit College Preparatory in Houston, gulping water from a gallon jug and scrolling on his iPhone XR fresh out of the box. Right now, he says, I've got 105 Instagram followers. And he gives a little shake of his head, absorbing the madness and then dismissing it. It all started in the middle of March. Bowling had been a rising scholastic runner and jumper for 2 years. As a junior, he had won the 6A, the highest level, long jump state championship with a leap of 24 feet and finished second in the 400 meters in 46.76 seconds, just 0.1 behind the winner. He had previously run 46.15. Matthew's performances were among the nation's best and good enough that he accepted a scholarship to Georgia, one of the strongest programs in the country. That's all very significant as far as it goes, which is to say, not outside the picket fence that surrounds the track world. But then, on March 16th at the Texas Southern Relays in Houston, Bowling was entered in the 100 meters, the one event in which a track star can most readily become known outside the picket fence. This was not planned. Strake was missing an injured runner for the 4x400-meter relay. So with no long relay to run, Borling was available for his first open 100 meters. Strake coach Chad Collier submitted a seed time of 10.35 seconds, which would have ranked ninth among United States high school sprinters in 2018. Matthew had run some pretty amazing splits on our 4x4-meter relay, says Collier, so I was pretty confident about that number. Matthew, not so much. That looked awful fast on paper, he says. Did Borling's burst of speed this spring make him the future of track? Maybe. But first, he has thousands of new followers to entertain. Bowling ran 10.28 in his preliminary heat and 10.22 in the final, a time that's at the outer edges of the best by any high school runner. The high school record is 10.0. This was big, but just a prelude. 2 weeks later, Bowling ran a slightly wind-aided 10.20 to win the 100 at the Texas Relays and also long jumped 26 feet 3 inches, the best this year by a high school athlete, and the 11th best in history. And then, on April 27th, at the Region Championships in Webster, Texas, Bowling ran 100 meters in 9.98 seconds, though with a tailwind of 4.2 meters per second, just under 10 miles per hour, more than twice the allowable limit for record purposes. No high school sprinter had ever run that fast, even with wind at his back. Crowd went crazy, said Borling, recalling the moment. 9.98. I didn't even care about the wind. Video of the performance exploded. On YouTube, multiple versions of that race each have nearly 1 million views. Bowling's anonymity was gone. He appeared on NBC Nightly News, CNN, and BBC. Then, the encore. At the state meet on May 11th, Bowling won the 100 in a wind-edged, wind-legal 10.13 seconds, tied for the fastest time ever in regular season high school competition, and tied for the fifth fastest by any United States high school sprinter anywhere at any time. In that same meet, Borling won his second straight title in the long jump, 25.4 inches, and anchored the straight 4x4 relay in victory by walking down the leader from at least 20 meters behind in a blistering 44.75 seconds, which is borderline world class. That footage went viral as well. Now, meet the elephant on the track. If Bowling were black, his performances would have merely energized the track world. He is not black. He is white, with curly reddish hair. The effect of this is best expressed by Ronaldo Nehemiah, a former world record holder in the 110-meter hurdles and a longtime agent for many track athletes, including Olympic and world champions sprinter Justin Gatlin. I watched the video of that 9.98, says Nehemiah, and I'm watching and I'm thinking, stereotypically, how is he pulling away from those guys? This reaction is baked into the sport, where it's long been assumed that black athletes will dominate sprints. The last white Olympic medalist in the 100 meter was Alan Wells of Great Britain, who won gold in 1980 when the United States boycotted. Before that, Valery Borisov of the former Soviet Union won gold in 72 and bronze in 76. In the 200 meters, Christy Lemaitre of France took bronze in 2016 and also has run 9.92 for 100 meters. The world record for the 100 is Usain Bolt's 9.58 in 2009. The reigning world champion in the 200 meters is Ramil Guliyev of Turkey. Still, the stereotype that Nehemiah described persists. The internet gave Matthew a nickname, White Lightning. He doesn't like it. Bowling has tried to turn away a massive challenge for a teenager with a new phone in 2019. I see things in the comments and on social media, Bowling says. That's not what I pay attention to. That's not the story. The story is that I have the top time in the nation. That stuff only comes up outside the track. Inside the sport, whenever you get into the block, all that matters is who's fastest. My competitors respect me, and I respect them. Nobody talks about that other stuff. 2 decades ago, Kevin Little underwent a similar experience, though without the amplifications of social media. Little was a white 200-meter runner. He finished eighth in the 1996 Olympic trials and won the 97 Indoor World Championship. I don't think we progressed very far on this, says Little, now 51. It's a societal thing. It's bigger in America than other places in the world. But if people are questioning whether you belong, the best thing to do is lay down a fast time on the track. Once you legitimize, the other stuff takes care of itself. Jeremy Warner, who is a white male, made the United States Olympic team in the 400 meters in 2004. After his sophomore year at Baylor, then won gold in Athens. His best time of 43.45 seconds is equal to the sixth fastest ever. It was mainly a media thing, people talking about me being the white guy, said Werner, 35, now a high school track coach in his hometown of Dallas. I don't have to deal with social media, but once I hit the world scene, won that gold medal, it was never about race after that. It was just about the performance. Now it's a streamy weeknight in Houston, and Borling has come to write for one series of weekly all-comers meets. On this night, he wins the 200 meters in the second and then blew it up. On this night, his parents are here, and so is his brother. It's mellow. At the end, Borling snags his backpack and starts across the field. A little boy stops him, and the boy's dad takes a picture. Borling again gathers his pack and his jug and slowly resumes his walk into the warm Texas night, one day further from innocence. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138. What's your name? She said, my friends like to call me Exotic Elaine. I said, my name is the Prince.